Our study tonight is out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21 and 22 to 33, nurturing God's personal spiritual empowering for godly marital roles. When the Apostle Paul wrote the prison epistles of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon, the fact that he was in prison troubled believers. We know this from passages like Philippians 1, 12 and 13, Colossians 2, 1 and 2, 4, 7 and 8, and Philemon, verse 22. To nurture his readers and for them to nurture others, Paul urged them in Ephesians 5, 18 to 21 to apply their positional truths in Christ to a godly walk by means of God's personal spiritual empowering. And he applied this directive to godly marital roles in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33 as follows. I would have to say, I've pastored now for 35 years. When I got out of seminary 35 years ago, I started. Possibly the biggest challenges I've ever had in counseling have had to do with marital counseling. And some of the biggest problems people face are in this very area. And I have yet to meet a couple that was filled with the Spirit, that was exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, so forth and so forth, that did not get along in marriage. I don't care what the background was. I don't care what the heritage was and so forth. If they were controlled by the Spirit of God, they got along. On the other hand, in every case where they were not getting along, one or more of the parties was not filled with the Spirit. I believe that there is a direct relationship between one's spiritual relationship to the Lord and one's relationship to his marital partner. I'm convinced. And so this is a very important passage. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. And you can't take the situation on wives and husbands without looking at verses 18 to 21. So I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to your yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual odes, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, Paul begins to apply that last command, submitting. He starts to apply it and it goes all the way into chapter 6. Wives, submit, the same word. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, husbands are supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own body, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. He's quoting actually from the book of Genesis. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay, by relying on the Holy Spirit to be under his control, what we previously learned is meant by the Spirit's filling in Ephesians 5:18, believers are to submit to one another in godly reverence. Now, Ephesians 5:22 reveals that one of the realms of submission is that of married women submitting to their husbands. And the Apostle Paul expounded on this role in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 and verse 33. The believing wife is to submit to her own or to her private. The word is idios. We get the word idiosyncrasy from this. One's own unique man or husband. The word is aner. It's not just the general word for man, which is anthropos. This is aner. This is a male adult. This is her husband, her man. She's supposed to submit to him as to the Lord. Now, that's pretty heavy. You know, a woman's supposed to submit to the Lord as he's our God and so forth. Well, the woman is supposed to submit to her husband as to the Lord. Very powerful. Now, explaining as to what the Lord meant, Paul wrote that a husband is the head of the wife, similar to how Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of its body. So much as the church is subject to Christ as its head and Savior, wives are to submit to their own husbands as heads and saviors in all realms of life. And then in the summary section down in verse 33, Paul also adds that a wife was supposed to respect. This is the word phobeo. And phobeo in Greek is like the word yira in Hebrew. It's the word that we use this morning and about being afraid of God. But it's used in the sense of respect. She's supposed to fear her husband in the sense of respecting him. And here the word man again is aner. That's her man, her husband. So, and Paul is holding the man up on a pedestal as an adult male, one who's the leader. And he's using this very wisely because he's implying he's your head. He's your leader, and you need to follow the husband. I've always found that this is very workable. Years ago, when I was in a church, I pastored a church in Nebraska, we had a county superintendent of schools. He was a head over teachers in an entire county, Holt County, Nebraska. And whenever principals could not handle children, they would send them to him. And he said, the vast majority of the times, I always had problems with boys where if you look at the home, the father was not leading, the mother was. He said, it creates a reaction. They need their dad to lead in the home. They need the dad to be, not a despot, not a dictator, but nevertheless, he's the one that's taking the responsibility. He says, when that happens, the boys have a tendency to align up very well and they obey. But if they don't, and then the boys have a tendency they want to resist and reject mom because they don't have a strong male figure to follow. We found this. There are high crime rates in inner cities amongst boys, regardless of race and so forth. Boys who come from families where there's not a strong father or the father's absent. Whenever, even if in an inner city, if you have a father who is present and he's paying attention to his boys, even in inner city, regardless of race, the boys mind, and they're not into drugs nearly as much. So the father figure is very important. That's why Paul uses the word aner. Wives, it's very important that you submit to your aner. But then Paul switches over to the husband. However, just as wives are to rely on the Holy Spirit to submit this way to their husbands, Paul implied that husbands must also rely on the Holy Spirit to relate properly to their wives. And what's interesting is Paul uses a lot more verses talking to the husbands than he does to the wife. Very interesting. Picking up on the theme of Christ being the Savior of the body to the church, Paul explained that husbands, likewise relying on the Holy Spirit for his control, are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the blood in order to present it to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, in this way, a husband is to love his wife as he does his own body, and thus he's to nourish, the Greek word is ektrepho, and to cherish or comfort, thalpo, her as he does his own physical body, even as the Lord does the church in the spiritual realm. I think the best example or the best illustration of this is Adam and Eve. Adam was put to sleep. When he woke up, he noticed he had a scar where God had taken the rib out and he closed up the flesh in its place. And in place of that rib was his wife. The idea of divorcing Eve was inconscionable in David's mind, Adam's mind. She's part of his body. Now, since she's part of his body, just as he takes care of his own arms, his own legs, his own head, his trunk, and so forth, he's supposed to take care of her because she's an extension of him. And that set the pattern. God wants us husbands to view our wives as extensions of ourselves when it comes to our physical bodies and welfare and so forth. And I believe in taking care of them emotionally and so forth. We need to look out for them. It's very, very important that husbands do this. So, in other words, a husband is to be the savior of his wife in the sense that he is to oversee and he is to provide for her care and nurture as he cares for and he nurtures for his own body. And Paul added that this directive to husbands coincides with Genesis 2:24, which explains that a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they two will become one flesh. So husbands are to love their wives as they do themselves, overseeing and caring for them as they do their own bodies, as saviors in the sense of their wives. Now, as I was preparing this message, I realized that there was another dimension here, and this is something that we really need to emphasize. Today, there's a big push in our society for men to stay at home and care for the children and the wives to go out and be the breadwinners. But that's not the pattern that God sets. God wants the man to be the breadwinner. And so, in fact, I have proof for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this, "But if any provide not for his own," and this is in the male gender, so he's talking about heads of households, "but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his immediate household," that's his wife and his children, "he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So a man is responsible to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and go out and be the breadwinner, bring home the bacon, so to speak. He's supposed to be out there earning. Now, I understand that there are situations, there are times when, because of the man's limit of education and so forth, a couple may sit down and feel they need help, and the wife wants to work on the side and so forth. Fine. I think we're still okay. But anyway, with the rain. But basically, it should be the man who is assuming the responsibility for this. So as Christ expended the energy to come to this earth to die on the cross for the church's salvation, so husbands are to expend the energy needed to provide for the protection and the nurture of their wives and their household. I'm really bothered by this. I have actually talked at times with wives who have come to me. They're very concerned because the husband is not taking the lead in this area. They have to feel responsible to bring home the food and so forth, the earnings. And of course, they have to do it. They have children at home. You can't just let the children go without food and clothing. So often these wives will have to go out and get jobs. And I say, I understand where you're coming from, and it's better to eat than not to eat. But the ideal is for the husband to be the breadwinner. He's supposed to assume the responsibility for this. And so what we've tried to do over the years at Epoch Church is gently encourage men, look, this is your job. God wants you to do it. And he's got to provide the means for you to have the wherewithal to bring home the bacon. That's your job. So anyway, I just thought I would put that in there. So relying by faith on the Holy Spirit's control, wives are to submit to their own husbands in all things like the church submits to the Lord, and husbands are to use their oversight to protect and to nurture their wives, taking the needed initiative to provide for them as they provide for their own bodies. So may we wives and we husbands rely on the Holy Spirit to function in our proper marital roles. Many years ago in Moody Monthly Magazine, there was an article about people who had married and lived together for 40, 50 years. And one couple, they were the odd couple because they had opposite personalities. The fellow was slow and easygoing. The lady was very talkative and socialistic, sociable. She wanted to get out and talk and meet people. He didn't. When he was done with church, he just as soon go home, sit in the chair and read. She wanted to stay around and talk, and they always had this tension going. And they said that after 50 years of marriage, they noticed that when they didn't walk with the Lord, they were always banging heads like this. But when they walked with the Lord, things smoothed out. And they were convinced that fellowship with the Lord was what they needed to do. So I want to encourage people, especially by way of this MP3 recording that we're making, if you're having challenges in regards to marriage and so forth, get back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll really work.